Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers from across the galaxy. I am Caitlin.
I am Kelsey.
And this is Rebels Remembered. We are now starting season 3 of Rebels. Wow. we're almost not even like halfway through the entire series.
Yeah.
So if you stuck with us this long, we appreciate your support. If you're just now joining us because you're watching season 3, and really I haven't seen season 3 a lot.
Yeah.
Since it aired, so it's exciting to go back and rewatch with us. So we're starting with the first two episodes of season 3, Steps into Shadow. This episode aired September 24th, 2016. Synopsis reads, Ezra, having grown in power, leads a mission to break the crew's old friend Hondo out of prison. Meanwhile, Grand Admiral Thrawn, a master Imperial strategist, has vowed to dismantle and destroy the growing rebellion. This is written by Stephen Melching and Matt Michnovitz, and directed by Bosco, Mel Ziwer, and Justin Ridge as supervising director.
Also, this aired in September of 2016, and the season 2 finale aired in March of 2016, so there is a 6 to 7 month gap between the two seasons, which is interesting because I don't know how y'all feel about time skips. But we open this season with, I think they say it's a 6 month time skip.
Yeah.
And I think the fans are a little bit divided on that. What do you
think? I think I was more interested in seeing, like, I get kind of why they did a time skip, but at the same time, I kind of wish I had seen
more
the immediate aftermath of Malachor. Because Malachor was so bad and so horrible and so big for our gang. It's like, oh, we're going to skip ahead. Oh, okay. Well, I get it, but at the same time, I didn't like it.
Yeah. I want to see the angst. I guess that's what it was. We get plenty of angst from Ezra in this
episode.
Some
attitude,
some from
too.
Painting. Yeah, and attitude, too. Mm. Yeah. So the trivia portion of this episode, brought to you by... No, I'm kidding. So we have updated looks for a lot of people in this episode. Zeb's armor is now updated with a Jupa in the left-hand corner, which is funny because... He was eaten by the Jupa in, I believe, Lost Commanders. Is that the name of the episode? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why you want to wear... I guess like a badge of honor. This thing tried to eat me, and I'm wearing it proudly. Sabine has a new hairstyle. I heard that Dave Filoni liked to change her look to mess with cosplayers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or they just... She's a very artistic person.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it just fits her character. She also has a Convor Owl on her armor. Convor Owl, very important in the Clone Wars. And also in Mandalore specifically, there's the Night Owl group. But if you want to learn more about that, you can learn more about that in Clone Wars. Hera now has a Captain Rebel badge on her sleeve. So that's like displaying her rank, I guess. Kanan now possesses a beard. So he's got some beard, facial hair going on. He wears a mask with, I can't pronounce this, Jake eyes,
yeah.
Which I think is a similar thing that Rex had on his helmet, the blue eyes. And it's sort of like, it is Mandalorian, correct?
I'm not 100% sure on that.
About like showing that you're a warrior and you've gone through something. So Ezra's 44 scoop is a callback to the codes the crew uses, similar to the 22 pickup back in season 1. So that was a little interesting tidbit. All of this comes from StarWars.com. The name Bendu, of course, dates back to the earlier 1973 story treatments by Lucas, with the Jedi being called this, Ashla being the light side, and Bogan being the dark side, respectively. This episode also marks the destruction spoiler of the Phantom. The writer who wrote this, so I believe it would have been... Who did we just say wrote this? Stephen Melching and Matt Michnovitz. I don't know if it was both of them or they wrote, like, different halves. Like, someone probably wrote part one, someone probably wrote part two. Whoever wrote that part, they were called the Phantom Menace for the rest of the season.
Oh, so that was their idea to kill to get rid of it?
They wrote it in and it had died.
It died.
Rip Phantom. General Dodonna is mentioned at the very end by Hera. He appears in episode 4, and his Y-Wings assist with the attack on the Death Star, and they become part of Gold Squadron. Sorry, I didn't get that up.
we're kind of shifting our podcast a little bit where we don't want to spend so much time on plot, because if you got to this, if you got to three, you should know what happens. Like, we're not going to do what we did in season one and two, where we discuss every single plot line, everything. We're going to kind of just talk about, you know, what our thoughts on the episode, maybe a couple of plot bits on it, but we're not going to go through the whole thing. So, one big thing for me in this episode is Ezra, showing Ezra being a leader in this episode. Because obviously we learn later that Kanan has been, he's retreated into himself, inward. So Ezra kind of had to step up and take that responsibility. So at the beginning of this episode, you see that leadership role that he's filling. You already mentioned it where he said, we need a 44 scoop, and he's very in charge, Ezra, which we've never seen before. So it was interesting seeing out of the gate him being in a leadership role, but also he's never been in a leadership role. Yeah. So, and he's also got this holocron that he's messing with that's, it's gonna, it doesn't, this episode, these, both these episodes, they don't work in Ezra's favor because he's, one, he's acting out of anger, he's not thinking things through, but he's, but again, he's never had position of leadership, I don't think. I think he's done a couple of missions before this, but we don't get to see those. So.
It was mostly more of like a group kind of effort. But I noticed the more they get involved with Phoenix Squadron, something that Kanan struggled with in the beginning is it's very much, this is this person's mission, they are the head person, they're the supervisor, the head of the mission. Rather, when the Ghost crew was on their own, it was kind of like everyone sort of pitched in on what the mission would be. Hera sometimes would take the main role there, but I also think that there is this sort of overconfidence with Ezra, like, totally, you know, totally being, not being a 16-year-old, or however old he is, I'm not sure. Yeah. So they go on this first mission to break him out because he's got the information or whatever, and it's Ezra's, which Ezra, like, trusted Hondo, it's a whole other thing. It's sort of Ezra's mission, but there's one thing that Zeb says where he's like, you're on a roll. You know? And I think, like, even Ezra's response is just very completely overconfident, which we've seen him be overconfident before, but I don't think to this level.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's from the leadership position, or if it's from the Holocron, or if it's from both things, but yeah. Something else interesting happens is we see Ezra, like, being able to use the Force and his lightsaber more competently in different ways.
Yeah.
And I struggle with that because I'm like, how much was this holocron teaching you, you know, and how much of it was Kanan? We know Kanan didn't teach him the part where he takes control of the walker.
But yeah, you're right. I don't know what. I don't think the holocron just can show you, here's how to deflect blast. I don't think it can show
here's
you
how
that
to do this
stuff.
Really cool spin that he did. Yeah. That was really cool. I think when I first watched this episode, it was very ominous, Ezra's character.
Yes.
It was meant to be, but like when he first appears, he's in shadows. And I don't know if that was to show his new look, like, so we could, oh, that's not, he looks different. You know, maybe it was that, but I also think it was a little bit of foreshadowing
some of the symbolism
of the path he could be going down. But yeah, so that was a really cool shot. When he first appears, he comes out of the shadows.
Another character that we've get introduced to in this season, and I remember people freaking out when this was announced at Celebration, is Grand Admiral Thrawn. Now, you're looking at two people, or hearing two people if you're listening to us, that have never, I don't know anything about Thrawn. I've never heard of him before Rebels. Now, that would be blasphemy, probably, to Star Wars diehard fans, but I've never heard of the character. But seeing how, I was like, wait, people, who is this guy? People know this guy?
I don't know if it was when, like, he was announced or when he appeared. It was like, on the online was going crazy. You know, I was like, wait, what? Like, this, he's already a character somewhere? Like, what's happening?
So he is introduced into this season. This, I mean, he's a pivotal point throughout the rest of Rebels, or character. He's introduced in this season, and immediately he's known as a strategist. He doesn't charge ahead into things. He thinks things through. He's very analytical. And we get that in this episode when, I can't remember if Price tells him, or I can't remember who tells him. They find out that they're going to that station to get those bombers or whatever.
And which, like, Thrawn figured out.
Yeah.
from, because it was like, you just connect the dots, you know, sell to sell with this guy who worked here, and that's the information, that's where they're going.
That's where we're going, yeah. And even at the end of the episode, he doesn't, I mean, the Imperials moved in, he doesn't capture them. He's like, oh, let them have their bombers.
Yeah, which to the Imperials, that's very different than what they're used to. Like, no, we should be crushing these people, right? Like, they're in the way. Like, why are we showing sympathy or mercy? And I don't think for Thrawn, it's not in mercy of any kind. It's just knowing your enemy. And he learned a lot. He learns every time he's in a battle with somebody or something. He learns more about his opponent. What is interesting about that, I noticed it. I didn't notice it in when I first watched it. The first time Price actually brings Thrawn out and says, hey, this is going to be the new guy that's going to help us with these rebels. He's just been promoted. Like, she hypes him up. Like, she's basically Thrawn's hype man. And Kallus has this one line that I caught it. And it signals for me, spoiler alert, if you know Kallus's sort of defection to, which is throughout season 3. He says, yes, he was promoted, but if I recall, most of the people in that battle were civilians, not insurgents. And then Price's response to that is, well, it got the job done. There's no more rebels there. But even the fact that Kallus would even bring that up shows that he's actually thinking about the bigger picture, well, I guess. But even
Kallus, I don't think Kallus has ever shown signs of destroying civilians.
Yeah.
I don't think, because he's more of like, we talked about it with his character with honor and duty. I don't think he would enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
Unless he was ordered to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would struggle with it, but that was something I didn't really catch the first time that we watched it.
Then we have, we're just kind of jumping around. It's fine.
Yeah.
Kanan's arc in these two episodes was needed. I mean, the man is blind. He's gonna struggle with that. And we, for Kanan's next step, we're introduced to a lot of people in the beginning of season 3.
Yeah.
Is this creature, the Bendu, which is, I don't want to make this comparison, but I can't help it. It's the lion, it feels like the lion turtle from Avatar The Last Airbender. That's just what I think of when I think of him. I don't know why. They seem very similar. To teach him how to see beyond his sight. And you see Kanan struggling with that. I mean, I think he says, I can't see anything, not anymore. So he just feels helpless.
Not worth, you know, well, what can he do, you know? At least he's just, like, very, very, like, down on himself. Yeah. Who voices Bendu in this?
It's Tom Baker. He is actually one of the doctors in Doctor Who.
Yeah, I knew he sounded familiar. Okay.
Also in that, we see him use the spiders as a source of, like, because I think he walks out there with the stick, the sensor.
The sensor.
To not get,
because he hears Bendu talking to him.
Yeah. And he destroys it. And he's like, okay, well, I don't want to say fend for yourself, but that's kind of what he did to him. Like, use your sight to, you know, and I'm sorry, it's still creepy to me that the spiders didn't do anything to him.
I think it's something we touched upon in Mystery Chopper Base when we were discussing why Ezra couldn't make a connection and why they kept attacking, is they're feeding off
fear.
Fear. But, I mean, we do see Kanan struggle. It's not like he just magically knows how to.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with Maul, people are like, well, he fought Maul with the mask on. I'm like, no, but that's sort of like, you know, that's something he remembered. The Force took over,
I think, in that instance.
Yeah, too. And from the childhood training that he had. I think this was, you see him struggle, because first he's like, are they close? He's like, nope. And they're literally right in front of him. Mm-hmm. So it's him just because, again, he's still closing himself off to not just everybody, like not just physically from everybody and emotionally, but also from the Force itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see him kind of struggle with that. It is interesting that he was confusing his fear for Ezra with his own fear. Very good scene between Thomas and Freddie Prinze.
Yeah.
I really like that scene. Before that whole sequence with Bendu, Hera tries to get Kanan to some, like, hey, you need to talk to Ezra, because his first mission that we kind of glossed over, Turba dies. And
Turba.
So he kind of gets like, well, did you know about, you know, any of this? Like, all you have to think the bigger picture. And I think Ezra, he's not used to thinking that way. And then he, like, gets all mad and goes into his room and then gets his holocron out from, like, the little helmet. Yeah. And he starts talking to it. Which was very unnerving for me that the thing was actually speaking back to him.
Yeah.
I'm like, and there's so many questions I have. What was this thing telling you?
I know, and that's why I hate the time skip. Like, but I, like I said, if I say that now, but if they went back right now and did a 6 month, here's the missing 6 months and animated it, I bet you we would be bored because all it would be Ezra dealing with the holocron, taking one more missions, and Kanan just chilling. If you really think about it that way.
Yeah.
So I get it, but at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So then we have Kanan that comes in. Like, Hera's like, hey, you really need to talk to him because you're blaming yourself for what happened. He's blaming himself for what happened. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Ezra's trying to hide the holocron from him. And I think that whole scene was our attention for the audience. It's meant to be like, oh, don't. He's gonna find the holocron. Which they sort of have this whole banter back and forth about. This is a quick route, and it's very quick results. Right. But in the end, it's gonna lead you down a path that you don't want to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Ezra, because when someone's going down a bad path, they don't ever see the big picture. Mm-hmm. They just see, well, I'm finding so much better now, and I'm being promoted, and all these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that killed me is when, you know, Kanan's like, well, I'm taking this thing away from you, because I don't want it to change you. This is before his conversation with Bendu. And Ezra has to say, well, I don't need it, just like I don't need you. And that killed my soul. But part of me was like, I know he didn't mean it. Maybe it was just, hey, I need you out of my hair, or...
It was anger.
Just, I mean, why'd you take my toy? Like, maybe that's what it is. What we have to learn about Ezra is his journey, sort of, something that our father doesn't like, is some of the same banter, some of the same quotes we've heard from Anakin is, well, I just want to have power so I can protect everybody.
Right.
And that's fine, but good intentions, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Right.
But again, you don't see that when you're so, like, tunnel visioned, I guess. Mm-hmm. So they end up having to go through this whole thing where they go to steal these Y-Wings. Originally, that's not their mission. It is to just recon the area.
Look at it. Scope it out. That's it.
Yeah, until they realize they're being destroyed. So Ezra has this bright idea. No, let's just go get them. Which...
Let me just jump in here.
Yeah.
And then even Rex. Oh my gosh. Like... Ezra is one of my favorite characters. I've said this on this pod, I will die on that hill. But the internet, there were so many people on the internet that hated him. And then when this episode happened, he literally told Rex what to do. And he's like, I'm ordering you. That's an order. I'm like, Ezra, the internet's going to hate you more now because you literally just put Rex in his place or tried to.
Yeah. He's got way more experience than you do.
Yeah, but he doesn't... He's like, okay, well, you're in command. I ain't gonna, you know.
No, I don't think that was him so much as deferring. Maybe it was part of him because the soldier in him deferring to, well, you're in charge. Or if it was more along the lines of, okay, you're in charge, but you're going to figure out why this doesn't work later on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
so they have this whole fight with, like, the mining guild first. And then it's the dismantler droids, which, honestly... I get this is a two-parter, but the dismantler droid, I was so bored. I don't know why.
Same.
Like, they're being attacked by robots with chainsaws, and I was so bored. I don't know why. The only thing I remember is, like, Rex almost falling out the thing and shooting at one. That was cool. But the rest of the time, I'm just like, daggum.
Season 3, and I'll say this over and over again probably throughout this rewatch, it is not my favorite. And it's because the pacing is slower. I don't do well with slow pacing. I'm a very impatient person, so.
To finally get there, they have to refuel the ships. So the Y-Wings don't have fuel or hyperdrive. Chopper gets electrocuted at one point. I'm like, this is just a cluster. You know what? The Imperials, once they figure out what they're doing, they know they're there. Thrawn has warned, I believe it's Brom Tidus, that they're there. They magnetically lock everything now. So Ezra has to run to the tower.
It's like a simple thing turned so complicated.
And we've seen that happen before, but I think... At the
expense of others, though.
Yeah, which is what Hera grills him for at the very end. Yeah. And so he even has this whole confrontation with Rom Tidus, very overconfident, just slices the whole station, the power to the station. Hondo leaves and takes the ship with him.
Deuces.
Sabine and Zeb and Rex and Chopper are now in these old but Y-wings. And then the Empire shows up. Like, it's one domino falling after another.
It is.
Another.
It really is. And there's only one person to blame. Who's in charge? Mm-hmm. It's Ezra.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And so we get this whole scene where, after Kanan has his moment with Bandu, he decides to, you know, I guess get back into the fight a little bit. And plus he knows Ezra's probably screwed up. Which, that's the way it comes across. Yeah, he's like, well, Ezra's in trouble, right?
We've gotta go save him. I guess maybe he felt it or something.
Yeah. And then we literally have everyone trying to save the others in the Y-Wings. We've got Ezra literally plummeting to this, I guess it's a planet. I don't know. It's not in space. But yeah, I'm just gonna shut up and say this whole episode is just Pride Before Fall.
He did fall.
Literally.
I mean, it literally was, yeah. And we had this moment where, that is my favorite moment in the two-parter, is where Kanan, you know, opens the door and says, let go. Which, to me, is just like, because that means, like, let go of everything, let go of emotion. Literally, let go, because I have you. You have to trust me. You have to trust yourself. Basic teachings that he's taught him.
Yeah.
That he's probably, I don't want to say he's forgotten. He's just like, he's going about things the wrong, completely wrong way.
Yeah. I think that's because Jedi training is such, you can't be too impatient when you're training to be a Jedi. It takes years of learning and meditation and
discipline
and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, anyone that's impatient would be tempted to figure out the easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
Where Thrawn, at the very end, orders the Empire to retreat, let them go. Hera ends up suspending Ezra's command because he got everybody almost killed.
Almost killed, and himself.
And himself. And then there's this little moment at the end where Ezra apologizes to Kanan, and then Kanan says, I always come back, is the line. What did you rate this episode?
Oh gosh, what did I rate it? What did you rate it? I don't have anything. I don't know yet. I forgot to write it down.
Six.
Yeah, I'd go with a six.
Yeah.
I didn't ask you to do that just so I could say the same thing. I literally didn't even think about it.
The one thing, however, that I didn't like, and we'll talk about this, is the whole thing with Ezra being tempted by the dark side, and then that's just kind of forgotten and abandoned.
I agree. Like, this is like, if I had a soapbox, I could do a whole thread of, like, or Twitter thread of, like, why I did not like how it felt abandoned. I know it probably wasn't if I go back and rewatch the season, but literally it's these two episodes of him dealing with the Holocron, the next episode of him dealing with the Holocron, and after that, he doesn't really have any more struggle. I mean, he does, but, like,
yeah.
He's not, you don't see him pushing people off of cliffs, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's abandoned or it was just they walked themselves into a corner and couldn't. Just had to drop it.
Because the only place he could go was down.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
If he had continued.
And we've seen Anakin's story.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. All right. You want to do our activity now?
Oh, I forgot. We have activities now. This will be interesting.
Okay. So I'm going to move my coffee cup. So we have this nice coffee cup in Galaxy Connection, Hot Springs, Arkansas. They didn't sponsor this video, but I thought I should give them a shout out. This has questions, and this segment is going to be called May the Questions Be With You. Very corny. It's the only thing I can come up with. So we have questions about this episode written on slips of paper, and we're going to pull one out one at a time. So my question is, what role does Hera play in this episode, and how does her leadership style differ from Kanan or Ezra's?
Oh, that's interesting.
So, as far as this episode goes, she's still very much the tactician, captain, looking out for her fleet.
Yeah.
But there is still that emotional, empathetic side of her. She's not just a hard ass all the time. Like, she's very empathetic, like, with Kanan and her crew. And I feel like for her and other people in the Rebellion, the crew is your family.
Yeah.
The fleet is your family. As far as her leadership style differing from Kanan or Ezra's, that's almost like, I have to compare it to two Jedi, which I think that's a whole thing in itself, but...
I mean, Ezra's will be easy. She doesn't jump ahead into things.
Well, yeah, Ezra will be easy, right? So she doesn't jump ahead. She's not impulsive. She thinks things through. I think... This is going to sound really bad against Kanan. Hera knows when to joke and when to not.
Yep.
Kanan will crack jokes all day long, you know. Yeah. At least he used to. I don't know how he's feeling right now, but yeah.
How does the introduction of Grand Admiral Thrawn change the dynamic of the Empire's presence in the show? He's with the Empire, yes, but he's somebody that they've never dealt with before. Mm-hmm. They've dealt with Imperials and the Empire, but I think for me, it in terms of the dynamic, he's a force to be reckoned with. I'll just put it that way.
How does it change the dynamic of the show? Is that what it said?
Change the dynamic of the Empire's presence in the show.
Oh, the Empire's presence. Okay.
They're there a lot more because he's on their side, you know?
They're there a lot more now. How has Sabine evolved as a character in this season opener? What does her leadership bring to the team?
She's going to evolve more.
She's going to evolve more. Yeah. as we confront her past and her, dealing with her parents and all of those things. But as far as her leadership to the team, again, I think she can think outside of the box when it's required.
Yeah.
I think that's the artist, that's the creative person in her. She can think on her feet, but not be impulsive.
Yeah.
She can be. That's just Mandalorian being brash. She can be brash, but I think she can think outside the box. And that's sort of like her creativity is what's brought to the team.
How do you interpret Kanan's training methods in this episode? Do you think they'll have long-term effects on Ezra's path? I mean, I think Freddy said this in, like, the training he received from Bendu. He's a different Jedi.
Yeah.
He's more stoic. He's more calm. He's more... I mean, there's still that side of Kanan that we have come to love that's still there. But he's definitely grown. And do I think that will have long-term effects on Ezra Fast? Yes, it does, because he learns from him as we continue on.
Yes. So. Oh, this is pulling off exactly what you said. What do you think of Kanan's journey in this episode? How does his loss of sight affect his role as a Jedi? I loved his journey in this episode. The fact that we got to see him actually struggle with losing his sight and figuring out how to see in a different way than just looking with your eyes. How does that affect his role as a Jedi? What do you think?
Well, it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. He is more in tune with the Force now, I think, than he ever
was. Yeah, yeah.
What was the most surprising moment in this episode for you and why? I mean, we've already talked about it, but that humdinger that Ezra told Kanan, I did not like.
Like how you just like threw it. Like, you're still mad, a little bit mad about
it. I don't mean to be. It just it stuck with me.
Okay, piggyback on what you just said. It's like the Force knows, the cup knows. How does the relationship between Ezra and Kanan evolve into Steps into Shadow? Do you see any strain between them? Yes, of course we see strain between them. Because one is looking into this path. It's the easy way out. And the other one's... I mean, I get it because there is some... They both blame themselves for what happened.
Yeah.
Ezra blames himself for Ahsoka dying and Kanan getting blinded. Kanan blames himself for even that happening and Ezra having to deal with the trauma of that. But also, I think, like, I understand Ezra to a point when he says he's never around.
Yeah.
But I also know, like, the dude lost his sight. If you don't think a person's not going to be depressed by that, I think that... I don't want to say Ezra being selfish there, but it's like he's not seeing Kanan's side of things,
It's almost like Ezra felt...
Abandoned. He's got abandonment issues, yeah.
Yeah.
So, is that another one that I just, like, put in a knot? Hope it's not.
Kind of, yeah, a little bit. Oh, no!
Oh, I remember. I was trying to make stars out of them. I saw this thing online where you could, like, make stars, and it didn't work, so now they're just not.
Now it's just like, can you open them? Okay. What impact did the episode have? Why did I get this one?
Oh, no.
Why did I get this one? What impact did the episode have on your expectations for the rest of the season? What did you hope to see next? I gotta be honest with you. I did not like this episode when it first aired. Mm. I mean, For one, it was the pacing. The pacing was a big thing for me. And I already knew going into it was going to be a different season because of what we ended with. What did I hope to see next? I didn't know what to expect, you know. So I didn't really, I can't, it's hard to go back and think.
Yeah, what did you want to see?
I mean, we already established I wanted to see Ezra struggle more, but it felt like
it got
tossed aside.
Like you just did with the question.
I feel like it got tossed aside after, like, the beginning of the season. So, yeah, I wish I had seen more of that, but it didn't happen, so.
How does the tension between the Rebellion's growing power and the threat of the Empire set up the stakes for the rest of the season? Ooh. This season, I really feel like, as a genius as Thrawn is, there is no point in this season where it's not, it could go either way. Because the Rebellion is growing, but the Empire, you know, desperate, when they call for desperate measures, you call for your big guns, which in this case is Thrawn. When the people that are always dangerous are the ones that have nothing to lose. So, yeah. And I'll bring that up again later, another episode. But, yeah, I think for the rest of the season, it's just, in season one, it was very much, yay, we're the heroes, we win all the time. And then season two is very much the Empire wins all the time. Season three and four, it's very much, of course, four is pretty bleak, I'm not going to lie. Three is very much a knife's edge. It could go either way.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, this one's way messed up. Sorry. It's like in a knot. I can't get it out. So what the heck did I do? This will be one of those times where we put, please stand by. Okay, I tore it in half.
Oh my gosh, did you?
Oh, okay.
I'll hold this.
Favorite moments of the episode.
Bendu and Kanan. I love that scene.
Mm-hmm. Humor-wise, the scene where Hera gets on to Ezra because they miss check-in, and literally it's when everything's falling apart.